Episode 114.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about the new outbound link penalty that now you have to worry about from Google. And we also get into this idea of having a secure website. I don't mean locking it down from hackers. I mean by offering a secure web page via HTTPS. Don't worry if that sounds a little technical. I'll explain it all to you and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night.
Now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, 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 and gobble, gobble, as I record this, Thanksgiving is just over a week away here in the United States. If you're one of those very interesting people in Canada, you've already had your Thanksgiving. This confuses me greatly. Maybe someone from Canada wants to explain that to me in the show notes over at latenightim/114. But happy Thanksgiving to you, whether you're in the United States or not. You know, here in the United States, it's a traditional holiday where what we should be doing, and I think what a lot of people are doing, is we sit around and talk about and celebrate stuff that we're thankful for. And my list is very long. It's very traditional to gather around family. Most of us are quite thankful for our families. You know, usually you've got that uncle, you know, that nobody wants to talk about, that's kind of a drag. But other than that, you know, you're super thankful for your family. And sometimes, though, it can be a little hard to take the time to figure out what else you're thankful for. I mean, after all, most of the things that have your attention a lot of times in life are the things that you're trying to fix, the stuff that bugs you, the stuff you haven't yet accomplished. And so I think a lot of times people get all caught up in the stuff that they don't have, that they haven't done, that's gone wrong, that they're trying to fix. And they forget to spend time thinking about all the things that they're super thankful for. You know, there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish in my internet business that sometimes so much so that it's completely overwhelming. I mean, I just feel like, God, how come I've been working on this for so long and I don't have an audience the size of Pat Flynn? I mean, it's really easy to fall in that trap. And the truth of the matter is, I do have a fantastic audience. That's you guys. And it is large. In fact, my audience is bigger than most podcasters will ever have. And in fact, most people who think about or wish that they have podcasts, they won't even ever take any action to go actually build a podcast. So I should be thankful. I mean, I've made so much amazing progress in my internet business over the years. I'm really thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the relationships that I've built both with listeners and other internet marketers that I've gotten to know along the way, like Pat and others like Cliff and these guys that are my friends and gals as well. And so, man, there's just so much to be thankful for. So I challenge you this week to take a minute, maybe specifically related to your business ideas or pursuits or wherever you are in your online journey, and take account of all the stuff that you've been able to accomplish or that, you know, God has given you the ability to someday accomplish, your talents that you have, and be thankful for those. This is a really good time of year to do that. And it will give you the energy that you need to push forward into 2017. I encourage you to do that this week.
And now, And now, it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking. Late Night Listener Feedback.
So speaking of things and people that I'm thankful for, I was on Cliff Ravenscraft's show a couple of weeks ago, and he was on my show last week, as you guys well know. And we've been talking about email marketing a lot because Cliff is working on his email marketing program now with ConvertKit. I'm doing the same. We're trying to take our stuff to the next level. And I got a question from an old buddy of mine, Stephen Cross. Stephen and I know each other actually through Cliff. It's one of the magical things that you can do when you have an online presence is you can connect people. I hadn't talked to Stephen in a while, but he writes in the show comments on episode 113, says he's recently started using ConvertKit. So congratulations. I fully approve that decision. And he writes, I'm struggling with the best strategy for handling video. As you know, ConvertKit doesn't support embedded video. They recommend placing an image in the email that links to the video. And I'm trying to decide the best approach between approach number one, which is embedding the video on a page on my website and linking to that page, or approach number two, link directly to a video on Vimeo, or in maybe in some cases you might choose to link to YouTube. And the whole thing, Stephen writes, is a training sequence that will include text and video tutorials. And this is great. And it happens that Cliff and I just had this conversation a couple of weeks ago because Cliff is in exactly the same situation. And I think the answer here is pretty clear. Once you identify exactly what it is that you want to accomplish. So if you are interested in making sure that people subscribe to your YouTube channel, for example, let's take YouTube. Steven's example was Vimeo, but let's take YouTube. If you've got a meaningful presence on YouTube or you plan to build a meaningful presence on YouTube, one of the outcomes that you probably want is to get people on your list to discover and subscribe to your email channel so they can find you again that way. If that's an outcome that you want, then you probably should direct some of your video viewers from your email list over to YouTube or Vimeo and encourage them in that process, maybe even in the video it's themselves, to click on the subscribe button so that they can get future amazing content of all types. So let's give an example of an email marketing e-course, say that you're doing, like Cliff has. If you sign up for Cliff's email marketing e-course, he could send you to a video and ask you to subscribe because in his YouTube channel, there's lots of other stuff outside of the email marketing topic that you might be interested in and be wanting to discover in the future. So if that's your goal, that's a good reason to do that. On the other hand, if you really are just using Vimeo as a place to host videos and you don't really intend to use that as a platform all by itself, it's really a video storage place, then I definitely would send the traffic to your website and embed the video on your website, because once they're on a post on your website, there's an opportunity for them to see promotions that you're running, to see related posts, and to spend time on your website getting to know you. That's where your content is. And there's a strong argument for training people to visit your website. And one of the ways you can train your subscribers to visit your website is by sending them there in an email message. So the way this would work is you'd write some great copy in the email message about how great this information was that you were about to provide to them. And then you would embed a graphic that looks like an embedded video right in the message with the little play triangle right in the center. And when they clicked on it, they're really clicking on a hyperlink that's going to open up their browser and take them directly to the video, either on Vimeo or on the blog post. Again, if you want to build that channel and you want people specifically to subscribe to the video property, because that video property like YouTube or Vimeo is its own thing that people are discovering independently and has unique content on it, go for it. Otherwise, stay on your website, drive all your traffic, social media, video, and other side back to your website. I think that's the right answer. And I hope that helps you, Steven. It's really good to talk to you, man. I hope things are going well for you.
This week, in the world of internet marketing news.
Okay, so this week in the news, I wanted to cover something that's being reported over at Search Engine Land. And we know that around the middle of September, actually, I think on September 23rd, Penguin 4.0 came out. And it's interesting because the people over at Google who are in charge of the search engine, they said, guys, this is the last time we are going to tell you about a specific update to the Penguin algorithm. And one of the reasons is because now this is what they consider to be a real-time algorithm. This thing is running in the background. It's part of their kind of artificial intelligence approach that they're taking where they're dynamically changing things. And they're going to be incrementally updating this thing. And I assume it's also going to be learning all the time. And there aren't going to be any more Penguin releases. Penguin is going to be in a constant state of release, constantly updating. But one of the things that we know from this is that they are going to start paying attention to unnatural outbound links. And what this means is if your website has a bunch of do follow links, these are links that they're normal links in some sense, links where you're linking out to some other property, and there's so many of them that they're unnatural, Google's going to pay attention to that, and they're going to start to reduce the authority of that page or perhaps that site. And in fact, it looks like they're going to be issuing manual spam penalties regarding this. What's a manual spam penalty? Well, that's a delightful message that you get from Google, and it appears in your Google Webmaster Tools, and it says, we see stuff on your website that we really don't like. We've penalized you manually, which is like tying a boat anchor to your website rankings in Google, and we're dragging you down. And then you can fix that thing and sometimes ask for reconsideration, and they'll remove that spam penalty sometimes. So in this case, if they see a lot of outbound links, they're going to penalize you. Why? Well, that's what blog networks do. Blog networks have enormous amounts of outbound links for the purpose of boosting the link authority of the sites that they link to. So you might pay $50, publish a post on a site, and in return for that $50, that site will link back to your site on the post that you wrote. And that's what a blog network is. And that's why there was so much trouble around paid guest posting in the recent past. So that's the kind of thing that they're attacking here. What does it mean for you? Well, one is, if you're just doing normal blogging, you don't need to worry about it. If you've got normal links, like I recommend a couple of outbound links to authority sites, that's not going to be an issue for you. You can just keep going. And you know it's not an issue because you haven't gotten a manual spam notification. Now, if your site is not hooked up to Google Webmaster Tools, I definitely recommend that you do that so you can understand when these things are happening to you. That's the reason we want to do that. But if you haven't been notified by Google and Webmaster Tools, you're fine. If you have paid links on your site where you have either obviously or maybe even not so obviously taken money in order to link to someone else's site, you need to, one, stop that, and two, you need to get rid of those links or mark them as no follow. Now, we've talked about this on the show many times before. Do follow links are just normal links with no special attribute to them at all. No follow links are links that have a special attribute written in the code that signals Google not to pass any link authority to this link. And one of the places where we like to use no follow links is in affiliate links, because what we're telling Google is, look, we're linking to this thing, But we're not, this is not an editorial link where we're referencing something that we think is important. This is just a link that we need to make so that we can get credit for a sale and so forth. So we're going to no follow that to give Google an indication that link authority should not be going that way. So if you've got some kind of situation where people have been paying for you for links, or you've got lots of posts with tons of outbound links and it looks somehow unnatural, that's something that you're going to want to think about. And I'll put a link to the show notes to this Search Engine Land article, and that'll give you more information on that topic. So one last point on this. If you're not sure, if you don't really exactly know what I'm talking about, no way this applies to you. The only way this applies to you is if you're doing something weird or you're putting links in for money. So if you're a little bit confused, that's probably a good thing. In this one case, everything's going to be all right.
It's time to get to work. Building your internet business. One night at a time. One night
at a time. So the big thing I wanted to address today was my efforts to change latenightinternetmarketing.com over to a secure transport protocol. And you'd be like, oh my God, what does that mean? Well, you've seen this before. If you go to a website and you are going to buy something like Amazon.com, for example, you'll notice that instead of the normal HTTP, which stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, you'll notice that it actually says HTTPS. And sometimes, depending on your web browser, you'll see a little closed lock suggesting that this is somehow secure. Now, this Hypertext Transfer Protocol is the language that computers use to talk to each other, and specifically to transfer information from a web server to a web browser so that the information can go reliably from point A, which is the web server, to point B. So Amazon.com has got this great listing for a super product you want. It's in computer code on the server. They send it magically over the internet, and the language that they talk in and that your web browser understands to transmit that is called HTTP. That's the protocol, the handshaking they use to send the information back and forth. And usually the underlying language that is describing what the web page, the thing that they're sending, is HTML. So those are kind of technical terms for the different piece parts that are used so that you can magically see the listing of this thing you want to buy, and there's a button there and you can press it and buy it. All that magic is made possible by things like HTML, which is the language that the page is written in, and HTTP, which is the way that we got the page from the Amazon server to your computer. Really cool. Well, you know, in this day and age, you can imagine there are all kinds of ways that you might intercept that transmission if you're a bad guy and look at it. And so a long time ago, someone had the bright idea, well, let's encrypt that. Let's agree on a secure protocol, and let's agree that we're going to send the information from point A to point B, but instead of just sending it in the clear, we're going to send it in code. And this is exactly the same as your children are doing whenever they decide to speak pig Latin. We want to tell our buddy that to meet us at the park, but instead of speaking English, which our parents can understand, we're going to do the communication in pig Latin, which our parents can't understand. Don't tell the kids that we can understand pig Latin. So that's the, you know, that's kind of the situation that HTTPS is designed to solve. Is HTTPS is a secure version of HTTP, and it uses a technology called Secure Socket Layer, SSL. Okay, so alphabet soup time is over. Now you know that HTTPS is this special encrypted language that web servers and web browsers can use to get information back and forth where no one can eavesdrop on the communication. Well, Google has come out and said, hey, look, we understand that websites that are serious about being trusted are going to use HTTPS. And so we are going to give a little more authority and therefore a little better rankings to websites that use this secure protocol. And so some guys like me, internet marketers, have decided to convert their sites over to HTTPS. I'm not conducting any financial transactions actually on my site. I'm not taking your credit card information actually on my site. All of that stuff when I do it is done off-site. But I know based on what Google said that they want me to use HTTPS. And so therefore, I decided to make the switch. And so I'm going to tell you about how you can do that too. Now, a couple of caveats. One is it's not much of an advantage at all. From what I can tell, I do see a little bump in traffic. I don't know, in search traffic particularly. I don't know if that's a coincidence or how long that will last. I don't have any, you know, I don't have hundreds of test cases I can use. I converted one website, but I do think that it makes sense that converting your site to HTTPS is a signal to Google that you actually care about being a trusted website and you're trying to offer the best possible experience to your readers. Now that's, you know, it's one of hundreds of things in the algorithm, but it is a thing. And most people who have done this and studied it, they're all sort of reporting small to no increases in traffic, maybe tiny bumps, which is what I observed. So that's pretty cool. But I think what's going to happen in the long run is that Google is going to flip it, because what's happened is it's become very easy to do this, to change to HTTPS. It used to be very hard. You used to have to pay a lot of money for a certificate that was specific to your website, maybe a couple hundred dollars. It was very technical to install that certificate. You had to do a bunch of stuff on your server. Shared hosts like, you know, Bluehost and SiteGround and other places didn't really support it. And it was just hard and expensive. And, you know, in cases where they did support it, you had to pay a lot of money. And most hobbyists that are trying to get started in internet marketing, they certainly couldn't afford that, especially when they didn't have a strong reason, like accepting credit cards. They didn't have a strong reason to go do it. So now it's really easy. There's been a lot of initiatives in the online industry like Let's Encrypt, which is a very famous thing, to make these certificates that used to cost hundreds of dollars freely available. And that, now there's a plugin, or actually several plugins for WordPress, that make the magic of all the server-side stuff that you need to do on your server literally one-click install. So that is super cool. So I'm recommending to you that if you have a website, you investigate how to convert that website over to HTTPS, and you go ahead and do that now. So your question is, well, yeah, great, Mark. I don't know how to do that. I'm going to give you a couple of options. The first option is if you are using a web host like SiteGround, which is the web host that I'm currently using for my smaller niche sites, it's excellent shared hosting. I really love them. And you can see them over at latenightim.com/SiteGround, SiteGround. You'll notice that they support this kind of thing directly, this kind of SSL stuff directly. And you can follow their instructions for how to make your website use SSL. And there are many choices over there, and I will leave a link to the SiteGround SSL instructions in the show notes. But I've got something even easier for you. Back in, I guess it was 2013, the Late Night IM website and several others in our space got attacked by what are called denial of service attacks. And at that time, Pat Flynn's website went down for almost a week when all this was happening. And at that time, I invested in hardening the website. And one of the things that I did was I moved over to a service called Cloudflare. Now, Cloudflare is what we would call a reverse proxy, and it also has some CDN capabilities. So let me talk to you about all that hocus pocus. So Cloudflare has the ability to stand between you and the rest of the internet to protect you against certain types of attacks. That's one thing that they can do. They also manage, in order to do that, they manage your domain name services in a way that's very nice and efficient and fast. So whenever someone on the internet says, where is late night internet marketing? What's the street address the computer lives on so I can connect to the computer at late9im.com? Cloudflare handles that. And one of the benefits of that is they can do caching and other kinds of sophisticated performance things, like distributing my content closer to the point at which it's going to be downloaded. So chances are, if you download my show in Great Britain, you're not actually downloading it from the Late Night IM server in Dallas. You're actually downloading it from some edge server that's actually already in the UK. And that improves your experience. So Cloudflare does all this kind of stuff as if by magic. And if you haven't checked out Cloudflare, I have all of my sites on Cloudflare now without exception. I really, really like their service. So anyway, you can find them over at cloudflare.com, and they do have a free level. Highly recommended. So once you're on Cloudflare, one of the things that you kind of get magically is this generic security certificate that I was talking about. And I guess the way to say this is, by using Cloudflare, you're able to take advantage of their security certificate. So you don't need to do anything on the getting a certificate side. By signing up for a free Cloudflare account, you automatically have access to their certificate. So that's super great. That solves the first part of the problem. You've got the certificate, it's applied to your website. Cloudflare does some magic to kind of bring you under their umbrella. But you'll find that if you go to HTTPS for your site, it won't work. It'll be broken and part of it won't load, and that just doesn't work. So there's another piece that you need. You need the piece that sort of lets your server know that all of your stuff that used to be HTTP should now be HTTPS. In other words, you need to tell everybody to use this secure channel that you've created. And there's a plugin for that called Really Simple SSL. Now, for those of you that are worried about performance issues on your website and you're like, I don't want another plugin, this plugin has been benchmarked and it takes less than a thousandth of a second per 60,000 requests or something like that. So it's a really, really efficient program. And really all it's doing is it's redirecting HTTP requests for your web server to this secure channel, HTTPS. It's like, hey, don't talk to me in regular English. You got to use Pig Latin. Okay. And that's basically what this plugin is doing, more or less. So that means that if you want to convert your site over to HTTPS, it's a really simple process. Step number one, go get yourself a Cloudflare account. We love the guys over at Cloudflare. They're awesome. That will improve your site's performance, get you some attack protection, and give you a way to expand the performance of your site in the future. As it grows, you can move from their free plan to some of their paid plans, which really can add to the kind of robustness of your website. Then you turn on SSL on Cloudflare. It's just an option. You click the switch and then you come back to your website. Step two is you come back to your website and you install this really simple SSL plugin, which I will leave a link to in the show notes. And bingo, you're running on HTTPS and your site is secure and you're doing something that Google encouraged you to do, which is always a good thing. Now, two caveats. One is, in Google Webmaster Tools, you're going to want to go into Google Webmaster Tools and let it know that you have your site is now HTTPS instead of HTTP. And same thing for Google Analytics. You're going to want to log into Google Analytics and change that as well. That's a very simple thing to do. And I think that will do it. That's really all you need to do, and it will work just fine. I was able to do this in about 10 minutes. And absolutely no side effects. Things just started working automatically and it looks great. And as I said, I see this bump in traffic, which, you know, is small and I have no way to prove that it's related to this HTTPS thing, but I don't believe in coincidences. So I'm going with that. So that's what I have for you today. Encourage you to experiment with that. And I'll have links to everything you need to know to do that in the show notes. Okay, that wraps it up. Today, I will be releasing an episode on Thanksgiving Day. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Look for that on Thanksgiving Day. If you're lounging around and you ate too much turkey and the tryptophan, I think, is the chemical that puts you to sleep when you eat too much turkey, is kicking in and you're waiting on the Cowboys football game to start, go ahead and crank up the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. It'll be there on Thanksgiving Day. Until then, do what I asked you to do this week. Take a minute to take an account of all the things that are great with you and your business, all the potential you have to be successful, all the places you're going to go and the things that you're going to accomplish, and use that as fodder to fuel the fire in 2017. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Hey, so a public service announcement for you today here in the secret part of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. My wife uses Lightroom, which is an Adobe product for editing photos. She's quite the little photographer, and she has approximately 250,000 photos in Lightroom or something like that, which I have on a fancy 12 terabyte RAID array, and that's all protected and backed up using Backblaze, which is the product that I recommend for online backups. And one of the reasons that I really like Backblaze is they let you back up attached drives like this 12 terabyte RAID array with 250,000 photos on it. No issue. And I know there's a lot of different ways to back up photos, and you can upload them to iCloud and Google Drive and all that. But this is a really cool service that I really like. So last week, her Lightroom installation went crazy, and I still haven't exactly figured out what happened. It has something to do with the upgrade to Sierra. I don't know exactly, but it just went nuts. Photos started disappearing. We couldn't access them, so forth. I didn't worry about it. I have a Time Machine backup here at the house, and I also have this Backblaze backup. It, since they're photos, by the way, I have them in a third place, because Katie Floyd says if data doesn't exist in at least three places, it doesn't exist. So I have it backed up in a third place, actually, to Google Photos, but it relieves so much stress. Then I could work on the Lightroom problem, and I didn't really have to worry about losing the photos. So please, if you don't have really good offsite backup, I really recommend that you go check that out. If you want something that I recommend and trust, check out Backblaze. You can find them at latenightim.com/Backblaze. They're awesome. The client just works. I never have to worry about anything. They send me an email once a week to let me know that everything's okay and that my backup was successful. It's awesome. Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.